Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to the Inclusive Class Podcast. Through interviews and discussions, it's our goal to explore the promise and practice of inclusive education. I'm Nicole Erdix, and one of your hosts for the show. I'm a parent, inclusion teacher, and creator of the online resource, theinclusiveclass.com. And joining me here on the Inclusive Class this morning is my co-host, Terry Morrow. Hi, Terry.
Good morning, Nicole, and welcome to all of our listeners. I am Terry Morrow. I'm the author of 50 Ways to Support Your Child's Special Education, and I write about special needs for about.com at specialchildren.about.com. I'd like to mention anybody out there listening to us live that we're not taking phone calls, but and neither will the chat room will be open because I am too sleep-deprived even to say that sentence properly. So just keep your questions to yourself, and we'll all try to get through this broadcast without, you know, tripping over my tongue any further than I just did.
Otherwise.
This week is has been Reader's Choice Madness, week two, continuing. So as I won't drone on about it quite as much as I did last week, but I do have profiles up now on all of the finalists, and encourage everybody to go check them out. If you go to my site at specialchildren.about.com and click on the 2013 Reader's Choice Awards link in the upper left corner, you can find all sorts of good stuff. In addition to just being a fun contest to participate in, it's a really great way to find some resources that will be really, really helpful to you. So go vote, read.
Go vote, read. Hey, that's a good slogan.
And sleep, I say to myself. Go vote, read, and sleep.
Sleep.
How has your week been, Nicole?
Well, did you read my notes? I ordered business cards for us yesterday. Did you
Yay.
See that? Yes, for our podcast.
That little block
so
is further down on the script than it usually is, and I was looking at it and not seeing it. So
I'm very excited.
Because
I made notes for myself for this morning. Yes.
I had somebody say to me this week, oh, I see you're going to be at the KIT conference. I'll be happy to meet you. And I'll be there on the screen.
You'll be there on the screen. Yes. Well, but that's exciting, too, though. I mean, we'll
yes.
somehow project you across the room. And I heard
because if there's
that
one thing we're known for, Nicole, it's technical innovation.
And it always works out well for us, too.
It does.
Always
we're like
very
the
successful.
Tech-savvy ones.
Well, we'll try another platform this time, and hopefully everything will work out.
But it is very exciting to be
is.
There.
I will
be very jealous of you there in beautiful San Diego.
Well, and I'm just looking forward to meeting some of these people that, you know, you talk to online and you're on Twitter with and Facebook with, and I get to meet them in real life, so that's exciting, too.
Yes.
So, and yeah,
you should just, like, have me
quickly.
On an iPad, you know, we'll just, like, do a thing and then just carry me around.
You.
So as you meet people, you can say, here, be my co-host.
This is Terry.
And I will be a disembodied head.
Yes. Okay. Well, that's a good, you know what? You never know. Stay tuned. We'll see what we can do.
Yeah.
No, I'm excited. Now, I've got these nifty business cards for us that I can hand out. And that conference I just want to quickly mention is coming up. That's the Kids Included Together conference. It's coming up in San Diego on March the 13th to the 15th. And as Terry mentioned, she and I will be there moderating a panel discussion on advocacy. Plus, there's going to be many other wonderful sessions. I had a look through the speakers and the sessions yesterday, and wow, what a variety of people to, you know, spend time listening to and learn from. And plus, Matt Roloff from Little People, Big World, the TLC show, is going to be the keynote speaker. So
cool.
A little bit of celebrity there.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that and attending. So if anybody's in that area, pop on over to the KIT Conference website. I think it's kitconference.org and register and come down and
Yay.
Have a look and see, yeah, pay attention and see all the sessions that are happening and learn some interesting information about inclusion and communities and all sorts of stuff. So
yep.
Anyway, I'm looking forward to that, and I'm also looking forward to speaking to our guests this morning. We have Lee Rohde with us this morning, and she's joining us on the program today to talk about why it is important to include young children with special needs in the class reading and writing program. So we're talking about emergent literacy here and why it's important to include them and not just have them off in the corner playing with the blocks while the other children are reading. So unfortunately, I mean, I chuckle, but unfortunately that does happen. So
yes.
Lee, good morning and welcome to our show.
Good morning and thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you and looking forward to some of your insight that you can share with us and our listeners as to why we need to have our children of all abilities included in learning to read and write. And before we start talking about those details, can you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and the work that you do right now?
Sure. Let's see. I told my students I'm a teacher, I'm a mom, I'm a professional developer person, I'm a researcher. I do a bunch of different things, and I was telling my students the other day that we often talk about this concept of I'm wearing this hat, or I'm wearing my parent hat, or I'm wearing my professional hat. And I said, I feel like I'm more like the peddler in Caps for Sale, that I have all my hats on at the same time. And it's really hard for me to talk as a professional without thinking about my parenting and vice versa. So I'm a mom of three. My oldest son is 23 and has a developmental disability. And then I have two that are in various stages. One's a senior in college and one's a senior in high school. So big changes on the horizon for us. In my professional life, I work at the National Center on Inclusive Education at the Institute on Disability at the University of New Hampshire, and do a variety of things there, mostly involving early childhood education, inclusive education of young kids. And my passion is emergent literacy. So you'll be hearing lots about that. So,
good. Well, let's get started then. Can you tell us why literacy, so we're talking about reading and writing, and communication, well, more so reading and writing. Sorry, I apologize. My dog came in the background there. why literacy is important to young children, especially with children who have special needs?
Sure. Well, I think when I think about literacy for young children, I'm really thinking about emergent literacy, which is all those skills and understandings that children gain prior to sort of what we think of as conventional reading and writing, picking up a book and reading the words off the page. And you're right in that emergent literacy is not only learning about the reading process, letters and how books work and how illustrations support the words and how the words stay the same all the time, and writing, you know, forming the letters and holding that idea in your head and figuring out how to get the marks on the page in the right way. But language is a huge component of that. Vocabulary, asking and answering questions, communicating in general. This idea of communication, whether it's the words that come out of your mouth or the words that you write down on a page or read off a page, is really about messages going back and forth. And for young children, a lot of that is language. A lot of that is based on their ability to talk and to receive, right? Get the message out and to get the message back. When we talk about children with disabilities or with special needs, many of them have difficulty with that, right? So a lot of children have difficulty getting their message across, you know, either because of vocabulary issues, because of articulation issues, because of difficulty in figuring out the message, and receiving it as well. And what we've sort of turned to is alternative ways for them to communicate. And it might be through sign language, it might be through gestures. But for a lot of children, especially as they get a little bit older, that pre-kindergarten, kindergarten year, we look to literacy as a way for them to support their communication.
Right.
So in my mind, it's even more important that children with special needs have access to those early literacy learning skills so that they can use that to communicate.
And especially with all the technology that's available today, there
yes.
are so many different ways that children can communicate,
right,
which is
absolutely.
Exciting.
Yep.
Yeah,
and we're seeing more and more of that you know, what used to be a picture exchange or just, you know, pointing to a picture of something, very often, and what we really promote is that the word is written underneath that picture so that they can, you know, sort of a double duty kind of a thing, like let's get that literacy in every way that we can. But I see it as just so critically important.
And that, you know, I just thinking back to my days of teaching early on, you're correct in that the main form of communication for many children who had communication issues were just pictures, symbols, and they didn't even have the word underneath, and it was just an exchange of pictures back and forth. So this is really exciting and another way to just include all our students in what education we're offering them and giving them the opportunity to interact like everybody else. So.
Right, I think so. And a lot of the, if you think back to some of those early symbols, a lot of them are really difficult to understand. I mean, it's almost like if I didn't have the written word underneath, I wouldn't know, what they meant by that particular
picture. I was just thinking of a test my daughter took early on. She had some reading problems, and it was, you know, they did, well, we'll do the test in pictures because she doesn't know the words. But the pictures were, you know, not really obvious what word it was you wanted when you showed that picture, and then you get marked off if you don't say the word they wanted.
Right,
you know, I think they
right.
showed a picture of boots, and the word was supposed to be galoshes or something. It's like, well, she's
not
supposed to wear galoshes.
Well, that's not fair. Yeah.
What is, you know, so right. based on that, well, we say this, you know, they make big things based on, well, but it could be any number of 10 different words are completely legitimate for that picture.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that we forget that.
And
there is some research being done now on instead of these sort of odd symbol-y kinds of things, first of all, why, you know, if it's that difficult to understand, you might as well just give them the word anyways, you know, figuring out that means out as opposed to the O-U-T means out. Let's just cut to the chase here and get on the real thing.
Yeah. Definitely. So, and, you know, you're also presuming competence, which is something that we need to do. That's the bottom line.
Absolutely, yeah. And in every instance, every opportunity we get. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think, too, the other point to keep in mind is that when children enter kindergarten, we're finding that already we're able to indicate who's going to be a successful student, particularly in reading and writing, and who's going to struggle by the skills that they show up with when they walk through the door at kindergarten.
Really?
And we don't want to be putting our kids with special needs on this path of, well, if they've shown up to kindergarten and they can't name their letters and write their name, then that must mean that they can't get there. And we certainly don't want to be sending that message. And so not that we want to be pushing pre-academics onto little children, but I think for many, many, many children, they can gain these skills. And we just need to make sure that we're giving them developmentally appropriate opportunities to interact with letters and writing and words and books and all that good stuff so that they can get those skills.
Now, what components of an emergent literacy program are important to teach to young children, both with special needs and without?
Okay. I think for me, this It's a combination of skills, you know, being able to do stuff, but then also understanding. And I think sometimes we sort of push this being able to rattle off skill things as opposed to really thinking about that children need to understand why we're doing all of this. So this understanding that communication, that sending a message back and forth is a really important concept. Another concept is this whole idea of symbolic representation, which is sort of a mouthful, but this idea of this thing on the page represents something real or represents an idea. And I think that for some children, that needs to be really explicitly taught okay. that here's this picture of a banana on this page that Curious George is looking at, and mm-hmm. here's a real banana, and that, these are the same things. So these are one is a representation of another, and that's what reading and writing is all about. It's a representation
yeah.
of somebody's ideas or somebody's words. So I think that's
exactly.
really important in the skill area. You know, certainly understanding of letters,
mm-hmm.
what the letters are, what they look like, how they can look differently in different places, how they're all over the place, how there's a certain, you know, there's only 26 of them, and yet we can
mm-hmm.
mix them up in all kinds of ways and make, you know, unlimited number of words. I think getting this idea of making the marks on the page is really important for kids, and if that's difficult for you to hold a marker, There's certainly alternative pencils,
yes.
and technology
yeah.
has taken us so far
yes.
In that. I think this understanding that the words on the page stay the same
mm-hmm.
all the time, every time you pick up a book, you know, the same book, it's going to say the same thing, is an important concept.
Right.
I think vocabulary is hugely important, and I think that that's one of the biggest hurdles that we have with technology to support communication is keeping up with the amount of vocabulary that young children who are typically developing gain over the course of, it seems like, hours.
Mm-hmm.
They have more words, you know
yeah.
those. We remember sending our children off at 3 off to preschool for the day, and they come home with 4 more words than they knew when they left in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, it's just
run.
So rapid. And I think that we get caught up in this sort of strange, you know, if you step back and look at it, this strange thinking that, well, we can't put words on the communication board until the child knows them.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, if we don't, then how are we ever going to give them all the words that they need?
So it's about exposure.
Yeah, exactly,
mm-hmm,
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, you know, in a nutshell, I would say, you know, the words, the vocabulary,
mm-hmm.
The letters, and then and writing. But then the big
yeah.
piece that's so often forgotten, that's so critical, is phonological awareness, the
okay.
sounds of language. So
yeah.
not necessarily matching letters and letter sounds, but words that rhyme and words that start with the same
mm-hmm.
sound and words with understanding this concept of words can be broken into parts by syllable or by onset and rhyme, or, and I'm throwing some jargon in here, but this it's hard to do. But this idea of, because that's how children are typically taught how to read when they get off
mm-hmm,
to public school. And so giving them, again, opportunities just to sort of play with the sounds of language so that they get used to that idea
mm-hmm.
of how the sounds of language work. And
that's some
paying
great
attention.
Insight. Yeah.
And that's
attention.
A fun
those
thing
Those are some
to
great
do.
Things.
Oh, it's
the,
great fun. It's
the
great
sounds
fun.
Sounds of language is a great way to tempt in a kid who's like, no, that's not for me.
Right,
yeah,
you can
right,
be
right,
silly
right.
with it. You can, I mean, that's why Dr. Seuss is so cherished. It's
right,
just you can
be
silly and funny and not worry so much about what everything means. Just worry about
right.
being able to
right.
recognize the sounds.
Yeah, and if it doesn't mean anything, that's okay. If we're just
yes.
talking about rhyming, it doesn't have to be a real word.
Yeah.
It can be
yes.
it can be a made-up word. It can be your own word.
Well, I'm thinking of our listeners
read Pop and Pop about 5,000 times.
yeah.
right, right.
Well, I'm thinking about our listeners out there who have young children that are ready to go into school and preschool and kindergarten. This is some great information for them to know so that they can get started before that first day of school.
Absolutely.
Some great skills that they can get
right.
started with and teaching
yeah.
and showing their children. So thank you. That's great.
Yeah. yeah. And I think for parents at home, if I can just sort of jump in here, and
mm-hmm.
I'm on a roll here. but for parents at home to be thinking about, they can do these kinds of things too. You know,
mm-hmm.
they can be playing with words and sounds and pointing out letters, you know, oh, there's an M on that sign, and your name starts with M. Look at that. There
mm-hmm.
it is. Sitting with them and reading books, and you know, that's been a public service announcement for decades now, is read to your children.
Yeah.
But when you read to them, talk with them, too. you know, point out the pictures of the that are on the page, and can they predict what's going to happen next in the story? Or when you look at that picture, what else can you figure out about the story that, that we haven't talked about yet? So this building this idea of inference, which is so important with comprehension. And we can, even with little ones, we can start to introduce those ideas and concepts.
You know, it makes me sad talking about this, thinking about how as kids get older, so much of that fun falls out of reading.
It's still
there if you are a competent reader, it is still there. If you are not, if you're a struggling reader, it just goes away.
And then
you get into the young adult novels, which are all about death and struggle and unhappiness.
Yeah,
I have to sit and I still have to sit and read with my kids, and it's like, I don't want to read that. It makes me cry. They don't understand it. They don't have a reading comprehension, but I do.
Right.
So it's
absolutely.
Like I wish there was some way to, you know, even the what do they call them, the high-interest, low-reading-level books are very straightforward and not fun. So,
yeah, a lot of them can be. Although I am finding, depending on the interest of if you have an older student that you're thinking about who's reading perhaps on a much easier level.
Yeah.
There are just many more resources than there were even a few years ago. One of the places that I love is the National Geographic program. They have wonderful readers, and what's nice about them is that they use photographs, and they've got, you know, National Geographic has beautiful photographs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's presented, it doesn't seem so babyish, which is such a problem when you get, especially into middle school, and if you're reading at a first or second grade level, you know, you don't want to read a baby book. And yet here's this book about sharks with these great shark pictures,
that
and the text
is
accessible. But it's presented in sort of a more grown-up way. And
yeah,
they've got, you know, there's books about skateboarding and just all kinds of stuff out there now, which was so hard to find before.
Yeah, I just wish there was, you know, you lose the playfulness of the language. The language just becomes very bare bones. I wonder, I'm just thinking about how much my son enjoys rap, and my daughter to some degree, too. Rap sort of takes over as the playful language that doesn't have to mean anything once you get to a certain age.
It would
be nice if we could work that sort of thing more into literacy.
There are some creative middle and high school teachers that have done that.
Yeah.
You know, take Shakespeare and turn it into a rap.
Right.
Which has been great fun. And for a lot of kids, they can understand it so much better that way.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's nothing, and what a great, you know, what a great way to differentiate instruction for a group of students, that you take your students who read really well and comprehend really well, and you put it into language that someone else could understand, you know, put it into 2013 words. And then that's available for students who need that level of support.
That's a great idea. Mm-hmm. Well, we're straying off the subject here, but it just was in my head as we were talking about that. Another thing that's worked to make learning about reading cooler is the technology and assistive technology that's really sprung up. I look at all the cool things that are going on now, and I wish it had been around, you know, when my kids were little, where the biggest thing was an Alpha Smart. I was so excited to get an Alpha Smart, and now it's like,
one step up
from cave paintings.
Yeah, I wrote pieces of my dissertation on the Alpha Smart because I could take it to my son's soccer game and sit there on the grass and type away. It was great.
It was awesome at the time, but now I look at all this iPad stuff and the iPad is cool. So if you're using that to read, and all the interaction stuff, what is how does that fit with literacy in an inclusive classroom?
Oh, I love it. I think it's great. And I know that there are concerns about technology. And I think that, you know, once again, we need to just be careful and think about, you know, what's our purpose for using technology.
Right.
And
you don't send the kid in the corner of the room with the iPad.
Right, exactly. You know, playing the same game for months on end.
Yeah.
You know, Millie's Math House is wonderful, but let's move on. But the iPad books are just incredible. Ocean House Media is one of my favorites, and they've done, you know, all the little critter books. And what's really cool about them know, you can read it, you can look through it as you would a typical book. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, if the book was in on paper in your lap, you can
right.
you sort of flip through the pages in a yeah. very similar way. So for some
yeah.
kids who really just want to sit with the book for a while, but
yeah.
Managing the pages is difficult, that's great. Or
mm-hmm.
you can have somebody read it to you. Or they've got these interactive ways of accessing it where you can, you know, put your finger on something on the page and the word just emerges right from
yeah.
it and tells you what it is. It's just, and there's interactive stuff. So for kids that really need to be drawn into literacy, this is another way for them to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's huge potential in it, and we're starting to see it, that an iPad can be a communication device.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's $500 instead of thousands and thousands.
And it's cool. You know, it's something that everybody
it's very
can recognize.
Cool. It's very
it's
approachable.
It's not some device. Yeah.
Yep. Yep, absolutely.
And
yeah.
There's,
I think
it
we
also,
do.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think we do need to be careful, though, that we're not thinking that the iPad or any single device is going to be the be-all and end-all.
Yeah.
That all of us use multiple ways to communicate and to use literacy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes the iPad is great, but sometimes I need a paper and pencil. You know,
yeah.
Sometimes I need a paper calendar, not the one that's on my iPhone.
Right.
You know, all that kind of stuff that
we can't forget those skills either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that you know, we don't want to put the iPads in the hands of children and then say, okay, we're done. You know, we don't have to think
yeah.
about this anymore. So,
yeah. Do children need to have strong language skills before they learn about reading and writing? That was a big problem with my kids growing up. Is that one of them did not have strong language skills?
Sure. I don't think so. I think that you know, and for a lot of children, you know, we sort of back into language.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, my son had ear infections. From the time he was 18 months until he was 20, I think. You know, just we always had the bottle of pink medicine in the fridge.
Mm-hmm.
And he had significant hearing loss because of that. You know, he was underwater for several
yeah.
years. And what I found was that when he spoke, he didn't use those little connector words,
mm-hmm.
is and of and he didn't put S on the ends of plurals and possessives. But as we were reading books, and as we were, I was pointing to some of the words as we were reading them, I started to hear them in his speech.
Mm.
It was as if by seeing it on the page, and he's a very visual kid, he then was paying more attention to them in the language, and then or in oral language, and then he started to use them.
Mm-hmm.
So it was. So I don't have a lack of language keep you from introducing literacy. For a lot of children, I think that it can be the doorway into more language.
Right.
And for a lot of children, seeing it is really helpful. Seeing the word
yeah.
written down or seeing a picture matched with a word is going to help them hold it in their memory so that they can then use it in their speech.
Yeah, it makes it less abstract.
Mm-hmm.
When you can see something on a piece of paper.
Right,
yeah.
right.
Yeah. Do you have a website that we can share with people, or how can people learn more about what you're doing?
Oh, my goodness. well, the NCIE, the National Center on Inclusive Education,
mm-hmm.
can be found at the Institute on Disability. So probably the easiest way is to Google Institute on Disability at the University of New Hampshire, and you will find us. And you'll find not only things about inclusive education, but things about assistive technology and things about all of the other projects that we're involved in,
great.
Which is pretty extensive. So
excellent stuff for parents to check up on.
Absolutely.
And teachers as
absolutely.
Well.
Yeah,
thank you so
and
much
are,
for being our guest
yep.
today, Lee. Our school bell has rang. We have to be getting out of class.
That went fast.
Certainly we could talk about it more. All of our topics
yeah.
feel that way. Thank you for being
thank
our guest
you.
Today, and I would like to thank our listeners for tuning into our program this morning. Please join us for next week's show when we have Paula Lieb, president of the New Jersey Association for Inclusive Education. Paula is going to talk about finding the right supports for students in the classroom, always an important component. You can follow the Inclusive Class podcast on Blog Talk Radio so you don't miss out on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter, where Nicole tweets under the name inclusive_class, and I am at Mamatude, M-A-M-A-T-U-D-E. And finally, you can download our past podcasts for free on Stitcher and iTunes. Goodbye, everybody, and have a great week.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Bye.